Bruce Kowalski. Your monthly universal basic income has been deposited into your account. For more information, press details. You have been paid 2,000 Central Bank digital tokens. The following fees are being deducted. Accommodation fee. Food ration fee. Recycling fee. Clean energy fee. Personal greenhouse gas emissions fee. Climate change fee. Diversity fee. Your current remaining balance is 5 Central Bank digital tokens, and if not spent, it will expire in 7 days.
Ah, yes, folks. Digital ID is coming, and won't it be great? I got the word back from a bunch of people in Australia, and it's not really happening at the moment. They're not really enforcing all of this show your biometrics to go online yet, but it's sort of coming. I think the law's been passed, but they're not really enforcing it yet. So I'll probably wait till this whole Bondi Royal Commission and all this sort of stuff and bring it in when they need to combat the spread of anti-Semitism and all of that sort of shit. And wow, it's only been like 3 or 4 days since I did my last video, and the world is just continuing to go more and more pear-shaped. There's been more stuff come through about the whole shooting incident in Minneapolis. Yeah, and the more you look into it, I mean, the more this seems to have been a pre-planned, staged event. I mean, I'm sure you've seen all the 33s everywhere, and there's just so much of their symbolism all over the place. And I think they planned to do this. I think they got up that morning and thought, okay, well, let's shoot someone today. How about that serial pest who's been harassing us all the time? We'll use her. We'll use it and we'll get the result that we want, which is, of course, to further the divide and to legalize basically killing people and to up the level of brutality from ICE. That's the way they do it. And for people who say, oh, you know, it was a crisis actor and nobody died, well, it doesn't matter whether anybody died or not. I mean, you know me, I don't go down that path. Now, it's not about whether it was a staged event. Well, you know, staged. I think they planned to do it, absolutely. But it isn't about whether someone died or not. Personally, I think it's a lot more effective for them to kill people because, you know, I mean, they want to traumatize the community. They want to create that divide. They want to push for civil unrest. And they need to expand the powers of these agents, which are basically just stormtroopers, but they're calling ICE, driving around in unmarked vehicles, terrorizing Americans. I mean, all sorts of stories are coming out. They're just brutalizing people, pulling people off the street for no reason, and just checking their credentials, but beating the shit out of them first. If they suspect you at all, they just pounce on you, beat the living shit out of you, drag you off, and then ask to see your ID. Pretty crazy. But that's what they're doing.
What's wrong with y'all?
Y'all
bust a whole U-turn in the middle of the street. Y'all hear her? Y'all on camera? Leave her alone. She ain't even do shit. She trying to go to work. She's trying to go to work.
What the fuck?
Bro, what? Y'all some crazy. Y'all got no heart, for real. No heart. No heart. She's a female!
Get off of her right now!
You guys hit her! How you guys gonna arrest her?
Get off!
You guys hit her! Man, how y'all gonna arrest her, bruh? Y'all bogus as fuck. You hit her. You guys hit her. Whole lawsuit right there.
Keep fucking around in Chicago. Hey, baby girl, you good. Don't worry about it.
Stop resisting.
Don't worry about it. We need our information, bro.
That bogus as fuck.
They just gonna leave us, huh?
And when I say that I think this whole event in Minnesota was staged, there's actually a ex-cop done all sorts of this sort of stuff, who came out and showed that when he examined the video, I mean, this guy, as I said last time on the last report I did, I mean, he didn't need to shoot her. There's no way he was under any real threat. He pulled his gun out before, and he was ready to shoot, and he was holding his cell phone the whole time. Like, the footage that came out, there's footage that's come out online saying, well, this is the footage shot by the officer. And you look at it and you think, oh, this is body cam footage. No, it wasn't. He was holding his cell phone the whole time. Like, he had his cell phone in his left hand and he was filming the whole encounter like it was a live action thing for his Instagram or whatever. And he pulled out his gun with his right hand and shot this woman. Apparently he was heard to mutter fucking bitch as well under his breath after he shot her. So, you know, I think they planned to do this. They got up that morning and said, yeah, we're going to kill someone today because we need to shift the goalposts. And this is the mandate. And they would have sorted it out and said, look, you've got to move me afterwards. You've got to find me a safe house, get me out of town, whatever. Because he's disappeared as well. Like, he's completely disappeared. He was getting death threats and doxing and all that sort of stuff. That's what they're saying. So, of course, they would have had this already. Like, they've completely cleaned his house out, moved all of his stuff, and he's just disappeared off the map. And now ICE are just going out and just terrorizing people, just mass brutality in the wake of this. And I think they staged it to create this scenario. And the ICE officer, as I said, there's this cop, and he's looked at the video and he said, well, this guy broke every sort of protocol you could possibly break. It's like he did everything wrong and manufactured a situation where he could actually use his firearm and get away with it. Unfortunately for him, he can't really. I mean, it was murder. But it's like this whole situation was manufactured and this was planned to happen. Listen to what this guy says about it all.
No! No! Shame!
As cops, we're responsible for every single round that leaves our weapon. Eric Balliet is a 25-year career federal agent who most recently oversaw use of force investigations for Homeland Security Investigations, or HSI. We asked him what to make of the tactics used by federal agents in the fatal Minnesota shooting.
In my 25 years, I've done hundreds of vehicle stops. If someone is fleeing, that is not a justification for the use of deadly force.
In this moment, the officer crosses in front of the vehicle. He opens fire on the driver, 37-year-old Renee Good. The government says the officer shot the driver in self-defense.
She then proceeded to weaponize her vehicle, and she attempted to run an law enforcement officer over.
But the footage tells a different story. In this clip, we see Good waving cars by, and one car drives past her stopped vehicle.
Like they're somewhat impeding the ICE guys, although you did see the SUV drive around them.
Next, officers exit the car and approach Good's vehicle.
Right out of the gate, it's escalatory in nature. And then the agent with the black mask reaches for the driver's side door handle to try to open it. From the video, like, the reverse lights are on.
From this other video angle, we can see that the officer has already crossed in front of the car. He's holding a cell phone.
They are trying to essentially take some sort of recording or photograph of the driver to show or identify her as a antagonist to their enforcement operations. What he does is cross in front of and stay in front of a occupied running vehicle. You should not be intentionally putting yourself in front of a vehicle unless absolutely necessary. And with a cell phone in his left hand, he draws his pistol with his right hand, and in a very quick succession, rattles off three rounds.
Under the Department of Homeland Security's use of force policy, firearms may not be discharged solely to disable a moving vehicle, and shooting at a moving vehicle is tightly restricted.
So my training was that you cannot use deadly or lethal force solely to stop a fleeing vehicle. Do you have another option other than pulling the trigger?
The Trump administration maintains the agent opened fire to avoid being run over, but the direction of the tires appears to be facing away from the officer to the right. There's still a dispute as to whether the officer was grazed or struck by the Honda. He continues to fire even after moving out of the way of the vehicle.
If she is intentionally trying to hit that agent or officer, those tires are pointed in the opposite direction, and the vehicle's trajectory after the shots would be continuing to the left.
After three shots, the car veers away.
Oh my God!
According to Balliet, both the officer's gunfire and the car accelerating could have put agents and the surrounding crowd of bystanders in danger.
These are all factors that law enforcement officers have to weigh before pulling the trigger.
Yeah, so that's an interesting kind of a take on it. And he did everything wrong. He manufactured a situation where he could use his sidearm, and I think this whole thing was planned. I think even the victim was planned. Apparently she was a serial pest. And for people saying she was this, she was a poet, she was whatever, she might have been a nice person, but she was there being a serial pest. There's video footage that's out there showing her basically sitting there parked sideways on the road for at least 3 minutes, tooting her horn. Bam, 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 bam. And she's kind of dancing to it in the seat, you know. So she was there to create a problem. That was her purpose. She wasn't just pulling out of the driveway after dropping her kids off to school, as some people are saying. So she did the wrong thing, sure. But so did the officer. She shouldn't have been shot. There was no need for him to shoot her because he was in no threat. He literally manufactured that situation. And he was well out of the way of the car as well.
And boom, boom. All right, so they're going to zoom out. And you can see he's here. He's leaning in over the car. Then this is second shot. Through the window, third shot from behind.
The footage that you see from his footage where it's all jostled around as the car goes past, that's probably him dropping his cell phone on the hood of the car as she goes past. So yeah, it's all been planned, folks. And Trump's response has been to send another 1,000 ICE agents into the area And like I said, they've just been next level brutal. And they want to bring about civil unrest. This is the purpose of the whole thing. They want civil unrest all around the world. That's one of the reasons they flooded migrants everywhere all around the world. And they want you to know that these agents are being trained by IDF. I mean, this is something that I told people back in 2014. I said, watch out for what's going on. Watch out for what's going on in Gaza. Watch out for what's going on in Palestine. Because if we don't, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And I told people that your police are now going and training with IDF. So if you want to see the level of brutality that they're meting out to the Palestinians, this is going to come to your backyard. No matter what the excuse, whatever this woman had done, she was shot in the face at point-blank range. Like, it's ridiculous that this is even tolerated. But yet it is, and it's justified. And now you're going to see more of it for anybody who steps outside the line. Like I said, if you just go on X and check out ICE, just search for ICE on X, and you will see all sorts of videos. There was a 17-year-old girl on her way to do some sort of charity work. She was in her scrubbers, like dressed as a, ready to go scrub floors and shit. Pulled her out of her car, threw her to the ground, arrested her, dragged her off. Found out she was a US citizen on her way to work, but just because of the way she was dressed. And they're in unmarked cars. They're just roaming around, these armed gangs in unmarked cars, just pulling up anybody who looks suspicious. It's like that mockery that I had on a couple of shows ago, a few weeks ago. I put on an AI video that someone had created of a cop that went out and just arrested everybody because they look suspicious. It's like that's what these ICE agents are actually doing.
Timmy, you are now a Los Angeles police officer. How does it feel?
Protect and serve!
A Los Angeles police officer has been fired and is facing a laundry list of criminal charges after what can only be described as the most productive and wildly illegal first shift in department history. Rookie Timmy Reynolds, on the job for exactly 8 hours, managed to single-handedly arrest 493 people yesterday in South LA. However, there was just one small problem. Every single one of them was black, and every single one was arrested for, well, essentially just existing. Body cam footage shows Timmy cheerfully cuffing joggers, grandmothers walking dogs, a church choir unloading a bus, and one very confused Uber driver waiting at a red light. When asked by a stunned sergeant why he was making the arrests, Timmy disturbingly said, "They look like bad guys." Supervisors finally noticed something was off when the holding cells overflowed. The booking desk ran out of forms, and three city buses had to be commandeered to transport everyone downtown. All 493 arrests were voided, and every detainee released, and Timmy was relieved of duty on the spot.
Yeah, it's like that, folks. And the riots were required. They were a required response for what they need in order to do what they want to do next. That's why it doesn't matter whether someone died or not. I mean, if someone died, then my condolences to her family. If she didn't, well, it doesn't matter. What matters is the response. You're not going to have something this public and this well-documented and this viral across the internet without it being planned and without it being part of the agenda. And they need to move their totalitarian system forward, and this is what they intend to do. It's the same with the so-called riots in Iran. Israel wants to attack Iran again. There's all sorts of Mossad agents. There's a lot of Jews and Israelis living in Iran. They're quite open about that. And now you're seeing all of these riots being staged in Iran. We don't even know if every one of them are. I mean, they could be anywhere. But there's some of them in Iran. But all of this is being staged by Mossad. And they want to portray the notion that it's the people pushing back against tyranny. And this will cause world outcry because the government's cracking down, they're killing people. Oh my God, the government's killing people. Well, they're doing it in the United States as well. And the United States is actually going and kidnapping foreign presidents and all sorts of stuff. So never mind that. But oh my God, we're seeing human rights violations in Iran. And this is Israel calling out this. Oh my God, the people in Iran are being brutalized. Okay, the people that did this to the Gaza Strip are now crying out about human rights violations in Iran. Just think about that, folks. Think about the irony of that. I mean, it's beyond a joke. But this is what they're doing. They're actually going in there, they're creating instability themselves because they need to shift world opinion into standing up for the poor, brutalized people of Iran, to give an excuse to go in and bomb those same people in order to free them from the terrible brutality of their government. Yeah, it's the same as what they did with Syria, the same as what they did in Iran and Afghanistan and what they did everywhere. They go in to free the people and they turn it into a failed state. Look what they did to Libya. Look what they did to Iraq. Going to free the people. It's always the same excuse, folks. Going to free the people, no. They need to neutralize that country because they don't want it to be any threat to Israel and the Greater Israel Project. And as for the Greater Israel Project even, I mean, this is just the base they want. If you look at the Greater Israel Project, it's actually the entire world. You know, Greater Israel is the earth. That's what they want. And they want everyone subservient to them in that space. You know, and that's why they're doing some of the things they're doing. I mean, and like I said a few weeks ago, I wouldn't be surprised if Pauline Hanson becomes a forerunner in the next Australian election. I mean, this woman can't even string a sentence together, and they want to put her in charge of the Australian government. She's just going to sell straight out to Israel, and then Australia will be seen to be subservient and capitulating and being obedient to the Jewish nation, which is what they said must happen. See, this is one of the reasons they're doing all of this. I recently showed you a rabbi and he said that all other nations and states must be swear obedience or allegiance or something to the Jewish nation. He used the term Jewish nation.
The goal of the nations are to humble themselves before the Jewish nation. If they are able to humble themselves before the Jewish nation, they will gain tremendous blessings.
Yeah, and he said Jewish nation for a reason, because the Jewish nation is the Jewish people. It's not the state of Israel. Like I said before, if you think of the nation of the United States, what makes up that nation? It's the people. Without the people, it's just a landmass. It's the same as the nation of Canada, the nation of France. Without the French people, there is no French nationality. There is no nation of France. You know, it's the same with every nation. So one of the reasons they're doing what they're doing is they want all states that exist on earth to have sworn allegiance to the nation, the Jewish nation. And the Australian Prime Minister wasn't really doing that. So they'll bring in Pauline Hanson, who's a complete idiot and will just do what she's told. She'll just be totally blown out and her ego will go crazy because she's actually got the top job after all these years. And she'll actually think she's important when she's not. Just a useful idiot. They need all this in place by October the 2nd, 2027, in order to swear in their new Messiah. That's their plan. So they need all the states to be capitulating to the state of Israel, and Greater Israel is basically the earth, folks, and they want to exterminate everybody. They've used Islam to do it. You know, Islam is the broom of Israel, and they've said that.
L'Islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le.
You know, and flooded the West with migrants because they've bombed all these Islamic countries for the last 80 years. And there's even people that have grown up into that. Like, you'll get Muslim imams who are probably like 60 years old or 70 years old. You know, my age. And they'll be saying, and younger than me as well, and they'll be saying, yes, Islam is going to take over the West. You know, we're going to get you back for what you've done to us. And we're going to go in, we're going to take over your countries, we're going to breed, and we're going to replace your populations, and it's all going to be Sharia law before you know it. And they're very serious about it. And that's exactly what Israel wants them to do. That's why Israel has bombed their countries and had them grow up into a war zone, so that they'll go that and they'll say that to the West, and that will create the fighting on the West, and you'll see the war on the ground in Western countries between Muslims and Christians, which is what they've been pushing for hundreds of years. And they're finally getting a chance to do it because everyone's blaming the Muslims, not looking at the cause of it all. The cause of it is the fact that we have been bombing Muslim countries for the last 80 to 100 years on behalf of this small group of people who have been pushing for war and war and war and war and war. That's all they want, is war. War and war and more war. And they want to drive all Jews around the world out of their countries and make them, force them to come to Israel because they must feel that it's the only place to be safe. And in the spirit of that, there were a bunch of IDF, at least three IDF, that were caught or spotted in Argentina setting fire to the forests of Patagonia that border on the border of Argentina and Chile. Incredible area, magic forests, most wonderful, wonderful place, paradise. And these Israelis apparently were throwing incendiary grenades in there, and they set fire to the forest. Apparently something like 50,000 acres have already been burnt down. I'm not quite sure what the numbers are, but they caught one Israeli guy doing it, and they're still chasing two more.
Adelante. Mariano, esta situación es realmente peligrosa. Observen ustedes las llamaradas en estos momentos aquí a la vera de la Ruta Nacional 40, único medio. Observen esta situación. En cualquier momento tenemos que tomar distancia.
Now there are mass protests, both in Argentina and in Chile, calling for the end of Zionism and saying get Zionism out of South America, get all the Israelis out, we want you gone. Yeah, folks, that's what's happening. And I mean, this is a pretty outrageous thing to have done, to have burned down the Patagonia forests, some of the most incredible rainforests on earth, and to have had some Israelis have gone in there and done this. The people of Patagonia and the people of Argentina in general and Chile aren't just going to blame the IDF, they're going to blame Jews in general. If you're a Zionist, if you're a Jew, we want you out of the country. And this will, of course, force the diaspora Jews, or diaspora Jews, whatever you call them, that are living in South America to have to flee to the state of Israel so they can populate Greater Israel the way they want to. They need all these people to come home, so they need to generate as much Jewish hatred as they can. And there's another woman there who is reporting that in all of these damaged lands, I mean, the place is crawling with Israelis, and they are buying up as much of Argentina as they can while people aren't looking.
You might have seen that Patagonia, Argentina is in flames right now. This gets so much weirder and deeper than you can even imagine, so just buckle up. This is Argentina's based president, Javier Milei, total Zionist puppet, puts on the tiny hat and kisses the wall. Exactly 1 month ago, on December 9th, President Milei announced that foreigners can buy Argentinian land and develop it after fires. Now, as of January 9th, Patagonia is on fire. They're not even denying the fact that these fires were intentional, and you'll never guess who was caught setting them.
Una hora te vas de ahí. Una hora te vas de ahí.
Estos son los hijos de puta que nos prenden fuego, la concha de su madre. Levántense y se van a la mierda, dale.
Me acabo de dar toda la vuelta porque vi una nube de humo y salía.
Yeah, that was an Israeli tourist, which is actually very common in Argentina and Chile because IDF members get sent there right when they get out of the military by NGOs that want them to map the land. They've been caught using military equipment while they're doing this, like radios and satellites that they then quickly hide once anyone approaches. They've also been setting fires to these places for years, which makes it even stranger that Milei would pass a law saying that foreigners can buy up land after it's been set on fire. They've been finding Israeli grenades near where these fires originated. They've also been finding busted pipes for the water sources used to put the flames out. And Netanyahu just happened to have a picture of Argentina with him at his last trip to the White House. Argentinian locals know exactly what's happening. They know that they are under Zionist occupation and that Israel is trying to steal their land and their country.
Pero lo que más te duele es el alma y el corazón cuando ves a la gente que se quedó sin nada, cuando ves los animales muertos. Nosotros hacemos colecta. Yo no puedo ni hablar de la angustia que tenemos. Nosotros vivimos acá. Este lugar para nosotros es el paraíso y nos quemaron el paraíso, loco. Nos dejaron, arruinaron todo. Y acá lo que pasa es que están queriendo venderle la Patagonia a todos los judíos, loco. Esto se sabe hace un montón. Acá todo el mundo lo sabe. Está lleno de israelitas. Está todo el mundo comprando la tierra. Nadie hace nada. Y la única gente que pone el pecho es la gente que perdió todo. Acá nos dejaron solos.
Estamos sorprendidos de que nos prendan fuego a la Patagonia. Sabemos que es a propósito. Lo tenemos recontra en claro que hay poderes que están del lado. Tienen un interés inmobiliario, tienen interés minero. Y es algo que ya últimamente lo hacen en nuestra cara y ni siquiera lo disimulan.
The claims that there is a plot by Israel to take over Argentina and turn it into basically their second base is not even close to being a new thing. Plan Andinia started being discussed in the 1970s and of course has since been labeled as an insane far-right conspiracy theory. The theory alleges that Plan Andinia is a covert Zionist Israeli scheme to conquer and declare a second Jewish state specifically in southern Patagonia, emerged in the 1970s in Argentine far-right circles. In 1971, ultra-nationalist economist a professor, Walter Allende, popularized it through pamphlets and articles in magazines like Cabadillo, claiming Zionists were secretly buying land to undermine Argentine sovereignty and establish Andinia, a mashup of Andes and Patagonia. There was even a documentary that was made about this Zionist takeover, and they were fined $40,000 for being anti-Semitic. There's really way too much that goes into this to even fit into a short video, so I'm gonna put this guy's Substack here. It has a tremendous amount of information. He did an insane deep dive. Definitely go check that out. Just screenshot it and copy and paste into your browser.
Yeah, this is what we told you they were doing. They've been buying up Australia, they've been buying up America, buying up Belize, buying up everywhere. Buying up here in Acapulco. There's a whole section in near between Acapulco and Bonfil. There's a whole section there of Jewish-only apartment buildings here in Acapulco. And we told you this is what they're doing. They're setting up bases. I mean, they're setting themselves up as the leaders of the world. And we told you they were doing this in Ukraine as well. Remember, like about 2 years ago or even 3 years ago, we said one of the reasons for the war in Ukraine is simply to depopulate the young Ukrainian men so they can fill the place full of Jewish men who will breed with the beautiful Ukrainian women and further promote the concept that Jews are these beautiful white people, which is, you know, and they use them, a lot of them, for sex trafficking and all sorts of stuff. So this is the plan. And we told you that they want to turn Ukraine into part of Greater Israel, almost like a new Israel. Now, Zelensky is a Jew. And we told you that they were doing this 2 or 3 years ago. And now look what they did in Ukraine.
Can you fucking believe what is happening right now during the war in Ukraine? The first time I saw this video was from the capital, from Kyiv. Yeah. So they put that thing in the center of Kyiv, and I thought, okay, that's really weird that during the war we are doing something like that. Yeah, so the guys are out there dying for the freedom. Yeah, and then we have something like this. Second time I saw this in another city, and I was like, that's not okay, that's something really not okay. But then when I saw that in my city, it really pisses me off, especially when I've been talking about this with my Ukrainian friends for like years, like since the beginning of the war. I've been telling them that this is exactly what's gonna happen, and they said to me that this is a fucking conspiracy. You are looking for the enemy outside. That's not the enemy. Enemy is over there. But usually, you know, it's kind of like, it usually happens that the biggest enemy is not where it's obvious. The biggest enemy is behind the scene. And this is exactly what is happening. And I'm talking about this not from the perspective of the person who just read it somewhere in the media, because media is a fucking lying shit, and you know that. You should know that if you don't know that. I'm talking that as a person from the perspective of the people, yeah? I'm just bringing up the information that I know myself, that I checked myself. And when I say I checked myself, that I mean that I have a people who live in that particular city, and they see that with their own eyes, okay? So the majority of the occupied cities were sold out for nothing, for really nothing, to people who accidentally have the fucking passport of Israel. So what is this if not an occupation during the fucking occupation? And who is Russia in this case if that happened during the occupation? Guys, it's like, think about this.
Isn't that wonderful to see, folks? And they did the same thing in Australia. If you remember, they beamed a huge menorah onto the Opera House in Australia for New Year's Eve. So yeah, it's really been a roller coaster ride for the start of the year, folks. And now Jonathan Ross, the shooter from Minnesota, has gone missing. No doubt, like I said, they probably promised him a safe house or something like that. Wouldn't be surprised if we find him suicided somewhere within the next week or two. Just couldn't take the abuse, couldn't live with what he'd done, whatever bullshit is made up. Oh my God, he shot his wife and killed himself, who knows? But it wouldn't surprise me. But it's just going like a roller coaster. No one's talking about Maduro at all, of Venezuela. Trump's kind of put himself out there as the interim president of Venezuela. And again, you know, they're going to use this as a springboard for their invasion of Iran, which is what they're trying to gain support for at the moment. But all of this talk of a on-the-ground revolution and women being terrorized and all the crap that they're pushing that's happening in Iran. I mean, who knows if any of it is even happening. I'm sure there's something going on, but it's probably mostly staged and theatre. I mean, who knows? It could even be green screen, folks. I don't trust anything that I see anymore with these people. But who knows? Who knows what it is? But one thing we do know about it is that it's been staged by Mossad, because that's what they do, and they're trying to garner support for their invasion. Of course they are. You know, and locking the whole world down, folks, they want to shift the goalposts. That's what this whole Minnesota thing's been about. You're going to see law enforcement more and more brutal now, and you're going to see them being justified for that brutality because they just legalized that. If you question them the wrong way, if you interfere with them, then they'll just shoot you in the face. And by interfering with them, I mean, I guess it is if you fight back. If they come along and don't like what you're wearing because you're in scrubbers going to work, and drag you out of your car and handcuff you and drag you off and manhandle you and beat you and bruise you and possibly break your arm or something before they look at your ID, if you resist that in any way, then you're interfering with their work. You know, this is the level of brutality. And of course, they want you to push back against it. They want you to get out there, like militias get out there. Apparently there was one guy at a service station or a gas station who was part of some local militia or some local action group or whatever, and was just filming them at a gas station. And again, they threw him to the ground and basically just really hurt the guy. Didn't just arrest him, but really hurt the guy. And these are all Israeli tactics. And this is stuff that we've been warning you about for years, folks. Yeah, and these people who've trained our police to act this way are now occupying Ukraine, occupying Argentina, occupying everywhere. They've basically got, as I've mentioned, like fifth columns in all of our countries. And they're creating situations whereby these fifth columns are getting military support from within our own countries. In Australia, you've got the army looking after Jewish people in Australia now. The Australian army looking after Jewish people. So who benefits from all these attacks? Who benefits from these synagogue firebombings? Who benefits from shooting people? And again, I think they actually kill people at these events, folks. I think they actually really did shoot a person in Minnesota. They don't care about life. I mean, Trump got two people shot to fake his own assassination, for God's sake. You know, two people died so he could fake that whole thing, which was absolutely fake. I mean, ears don't regrow. Even if it was a tiny little nick. You know, he put his hand to his ear and there was no blood on it when he first stood up and first, you know, put his hand up and went down. He said, I put my hand up and there was blood all over it. And there wasn't. We all saw it. There was no blood on his ear until he stood back up. Of course, they lowered the flag and put the cameras in position and got that classic iconic shot that they even, I think, built a little brass statue of that shot or whatever, which was all such bullshit. But two people died for him to pull that off. So don't think that they give a shit about killing people. It's far more beneficial for them to kill someone so they get that outrage in the community. And they don't give a shit about killing people, especially if they've trained in Israel.
What are the chances that the Zionists are controlling ICE?
The chances that U.S. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is trained by Israeli forces, often referred to as Zionist in critical contexts, are 100%. It's a confirmed fact, not speculation. Since the 1990s, thousands of U.S. law enforcement officials, including ICE agents and leaders, have participated in trainings with the Israeli military, IDF, and police. ICE's methods show clear parallels to Israeli military tactics, racial profiling and surveillance. ICE uses advanced surveillance, e.g. via Palantir, for targeting immigrants, similar to IDF's use in occupied Palestine for monitoring and detaining Palestinians. Militarized raids. ICE's violent, no-knock operations in homes, workplaces, mirror IDF checkpoint raids, and home demolitions. both emphasize force, intimidation, and dehumanization. Detention and separation. ICE's family separations and indefinite detention echo IDF's administrative detention without trial and separation barriers in the West Bank, Gaza.
So what are the chances that the Zionists have taken control over ICE?
The chances that Zionists, Israeli regime forces, and Christian Zionists in the Trump administration have taken control over ICE, meaning heavily influencing its decisions and tactics, are 90%. They've embedded in the admin, e.g. evangelicals pushing biblical pro-Israel policy, fueling militarized border enforcement, echoing Israeli methods as defense against threats.
Yeah, but no one can see what's going on. No one's been able to see what's going on for so long because no one can look up from their phones. The phones and the TV screens, tablets, and I've watched people playing tablets on the aircraft sometimes. Watch people and they're sitting there playing these games. And when they do something, this all this stuff happens and little events happen and little clouds and bubbles and waterfalls of graphics and all sorts of stuff happen. Every time you click an icon on your phone, any time a little event happens, I mean, when you click an icon, it doesn't just open an app. Something happens, a little loading screen comes up, or the app swells up, or it's a little flare, or some little shimmer goes across it, or something. All of these sorts of things activate pleasure centers and give you little dopamine hits. And people become addicted to their phones. I mean, this woman on the plane playing that game with all these cascading things, she was just like going for it. It was like full dopamine addiction. And it happens with poker machines as well. And they have all these events happen. It used to just be spinning the numbers, you know, and that was enough. That was a little dopamine thing because you've got that excitement and then it comes up and, you know. But when it's graphics and it's like a computer screen on your the machine you're gambling on, like poker machines, these are all dopamine releases. And people are addicted to dopamine. That's why people can't leave their cell phones alone. And they did experiments with rats. There was actually a rat called Benny. And they did an experiment with this rat to see how it would react to receiving a pleasure stimulation, i.e. a dopamine release, by pushing a button and how much precedence that would take over other things. Interesting experiment.
In 1954, scientists placed a rat named Benny in a cage. In the center of the cage was a simple red button. If Benny pressed it, he got a small shock of pure pleasure to his brain. At first, Benny pressed it by accident, but soon he understood the transaction. Press button. Feel good. Press button. Feel good. It was the perfect life. The scientists then put food in the corner. They put a female rat in the other corner. They even opened the cage door to the outside world. Benny ignored the food. He ignored the female. He ignored the open door. Why would he struggle for those things when the button gave him the feeling of reward without the effort? Benny pressed the button 7,000 times per hour. He pressed it until his body collapsed from starvation. He died with his paw still resting on the switch. The scientists took notes and closed the file. But the experiment didn't end with Benny. It just got an upgrade. Look at the glowing rectangle in your hand. That isn't a phone. That is the button.
Yeah, and that's basically what they've done to people. They've got everybody addicted to their screens. They can feed them whatever information that they want. Now they can just stage these events all over the place and lock people down further and further. And you look at what ICE is doing and the abuse of power that they're exercising. It doesn't matter whether you think she should have just followed orders or not. I mean, yeah, she should have followed orders. But ultimately, they shouldn't have been out there dressed like that, giving those orders. They were in unmarked vehicles. They weren't exactly being nice. Like, get out of the fucking car isn't exactly giving someone a lawful order. You can look at all that and say, yeah, she was in the wrong. And yeah, she did a lot of stuff wrong, but so did he. He should not have shot her in the face. And when you look at what I showed you previously and what I showed you on the last report, he pretty much manufactured the situation where he would have the ability to do that. And I think this was planned so that they could give ICE more power, more sweep, put more ICE agents on the ground. Now, look at all that. Look at how that's going and what they're prepared to do to people now who speak back against them or push back against them in any way. This is the way they treat the Palestinians in Gaza, by people who are basically dressed the same way with the same body armor and helmets and machine guns against unarmed people, which is what they're doing in the United States. And now they've just staged this whole genocide. 60% of the people in the United States, at least, if not more, are horrified at what the state of Israel has been doing in Gaza. And what happens when they apply this type of activity and you give the ICE troops or the police in general these type of powers and apply that to anybody protesting the genocide in Gaza, you know, tie it in with anti-Semitism? Because of course, if you're protesting genocide and you don't like to see the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of children in the most brutal and sadistic way possible being live streamed by Israeli soldiers who ransack and plunder houses and then ransack the women's cupboards in there and put on women's lingerie for their photo shoots. If you're unhappy with this and you think that this is unjust, then you're anti-Semitic, which means the ICE troops can come around and shoot you in the face. Welcome to the new America, Trump's America. Trust the plan, it's all good. It's just incredible, folks. Absolutely incredible where it's going. And again, you know, all planned. You know, they want anti-Semitism. They want you to see all this stuff. They want you to know the ICE troops are trained by IDF. They want you to know it was Israel who burned down the forests in Patagonia. They want you to know all this shit because they want all the Jews around the world to be hated because they want to promote as much anti-Semitism as they can. So that all these people will flee to Israel because they need them to populate the landmass in the Middle East called Greater Israel. They plan to establish that landmass and then from that point basically put the rest of the world against each other, have them all exterminate each other. They've been waging a war against the West, against the Muslim world and against the Western world for over 100 years, these people. It's just they've done it in a very sneaky manner. They've used the West to go in and kill and destabilize the Muslim world for them, and they've used that destabilization to then flood the West with the Muslims that they have just destabilized. They blamed everybody else for what they're doing, and now they can sit back and fortify their own domain. And while they're doing it, they're calling all Jews around the world to come home. Come home, come back to Israel, which isn't actually their home, but anyway. Come back to Palestine and stay here because it's not going to be safe anywhere else because we've made sure of that. All these people are going to kill each other and you're going to be hated because of what we are doing here. You know, and a lot of Israelis can see it as well. I mean, there's thousands upon thousands of people protesting in the streets in Tel Aviv that can see everything that's going on as well.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. Crazy, crazy time. So I'm still getting used to this camera here. It's got a, it's kind of different. I've got to touch it to spin it around, which is not what I'm kind of used to doing. I'm used to having the controls at my fingertips. But yeah, and you know, it's such a crazy time. We can't let these people take over the world, folks, because that's their plan. They want to take over the world, and they're doing a pretty damn good job. Because like I said, the whole world is at war and nobody even knows it. It's remarkable, nobody even knows it. And when you look at the whole World War II scenario and you look at who these people really are, I'm no fan of Hitler because, you know, he was a politician like anybody else. But you look at the brutality of the Israelis and what they say about people, how you've just got to kill everybody. You can't leave anybody alive. You've got to kill all the children, kill everybody. It's just brutal, you know? Like, they're saying it's crazy to leave any of the enemy alive, kill their children, kill their pets, kill their animals, burn their houses, erase every single trace of them. That's what you do to your enemies. Basically, and you've heard them say this, but you compare the German rules of war that were given to the German army in World War II. And look at those rules of war and compare them to the Israeli mentality towards war. And you see what's coming to all of our countries and what these police who've been trained by these people have had put into their heads.
אני שומע על הומניטריה, אני שומע על השארת אזרחים, אני שומע על חיסול כיסי התנגדות. חברים, אין חפים מפשע בעזה. ואנחנו לא נדע ניצחון עד שלא נשמיד את עזה. להשמיד את עזה.
תראה אימא שלו זונה, איזה מכוער מסע. דרוס אותו! דרוס, תזיין לו את האימא שלו בתחת! דרוס אותו! טוב מאוד בתחת! דרוס! תזיין לו את אימא שלו בתחת!
תעלו והצליחו. תכסחו אותם כמה שיותר, שלא לשים מהם זכר. שלא לא הם, לא אמא שלהם, לא הילדה שלהם, לא התינוקות שלהם. אסור להם לחיות לחיות האלה.
We are looking for babies, but there is no babies left.
What babies? Say that again.
Say that again.
Say it again.
No, Maybe I killed a girl, she was 12, but I'm looking for a baby.
Yeah, you kind of see what we're dealing with, folks, and they don't like people finding out about this. We're even talking about banning X now in Australia, I believe Canada as well. Can't have people talking and speaking any truth on social media. And X, I mean, I get banned on X. My posts get limited all the time. I'm massively shadow banned. I've got, you know, a few thousand followers, only about maybe 7,000 or 8,000, I don't know, 10,000. I don't really know. I did have quite a few, but they banned my account. Like, I'm on my fourth account there now. I've got, I don't know, 7,000 or 8,000 followers or something, I don't know. But nobody sees my posts. I'm lucky if I get 100 or 200 views on one of my posts. Nobody sees them. And if I say anything too on the mark about Israel, the post usually gets censored for hate speech. So, I mean, X isn't free speech, but, you know, it's one of the best things we've got at the moment. At least you get some form of news coming in there from both sides. I'm not on TikTok or any other platforms like that. I think TikTok is owned by Larry Ellison now anyway. My friend Rachel Reinster got banned from TikTok not long ago, so. But they're thinking of banning X, or they're trying to ban X in Australia, trying to ban X in Canada. So they're really kind of pushing things. They don't like people speaking out, but people, they're going to speak out, folks. It's just what they're going to do. Yeah, I think that's probably all I've got to say as well. I just wanted to address the whole fires in Argentina and Patagonia. This is terrible. This is beautiful, beautiful forest. And, you know, typical of Israel to do something like this. You got to wonder how they got incendiary grenades in there. And meanwhile, Milei, like, what's his name, Javier Milei? He's celebrating because he's halved poverty, apparently, in Argentina. Well, meanwhile, he's allowed his Jewish friends to bring incendiary grenades into the country so that they can burn down the forests in Patagonia. You know, and he's completely capitulating to Israel. And, like, according to that woman, there are Israelis everywhere. The place is crawling with Israelis, and they're buying up all of the land in Argentina. So this is all happening under the carpet, same as smart grid is being rolled out under the carpet, folks. So yeah, just pay attention to what's happening. And Israel is really going to try to kickstart this war with Iran this year. That's what all of these riots and revolutions and stuff that are being staged by Mossad in Iran are all about. And it doesn't matter, I mean, if Israel and the United States go in there to free the people, it's never about freeing the people. Like I said before, just look at Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, everywhere that they've gone in to free the people. Syria, look what they've done. Look, Palestine, they've gone in there to free the people from Hamas by not leaving a single building standing, squeezing all of the people into tents and starvation zones. Incidentally, my friend Nidal is still in there, folks, if you can help him out. He still can get food and stuff in there if you can help him out. He's living in a little tent city at the moment with his daughter Siwa. If you can possibly throw him any funding. I sent him some money this morning, actually. You know, a lot of people have been setting up fundraisers for Gaza. A lot of people have been scamming people. There's people have been putting out fake videos and saying, please help me, blah, 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 and raking in thousands of dollars. A lot of NGOs and stuff like that. But the link that you'll find beneath my videos to Nadal's fundraiser is being run by a guy in Canada, and the money goes directly to Nadal. That's why the donations are in British pounds, because it's very easy to switch British pounds into shekels, and then he can use them to trade and buy food and get shelter and stuff they need in Gaza. So many people are still hanging on in there, folks. They will never let go. The Palestinian people are incredibly resilient, but, you know, they can't even leave if they wanted to at the moment, because the only borders are at Rafah and the border going into Israel at the north through Beit Hanun. And these are both closed. Like, if you look at the yellow line that Israel has set up, they can't get to Rafah border. They can't get to any borders at all. They can't even get out in a fishing boat. Some old guy went out in a fishing boat recently. It's a small rowboat to maybe catch some fish to eat. And Israeli gunships were shooting at him. Yeah, this is very common, unfortunately, folks. I saw that when I was there in 2012. I saw people actually going out and trying to fish, and they're not allowed out more than, like, you know, 400 or 500 meters from the shore to cast their nets and things, and there's no fish there, of course. That's why they're allowed out that far. But if they go any further, then the Israeli gunboats shoot at them, and I witnessed it myself. So yeah, I mean, they can't leave. Even if they wanted to, they can't leave, but they can still trade for food. Nadal still does have access to a cell phone. They're very resilient. They use car batteries and all sorts of stuff, and they use solar panels that they rig up, and they piggyback and hack into Israeli internet, so they're able to still communicate. Incredibly resilient people, but Nadal could still use some help, yeah. So if you can, folks, please throw him some money. And I thank you and everybody who's ever donated to me as well. I thank all of you. I thank all the people who leave kind comments. And all the people who just come and you do troll serial insults and post insults on everybody's comments. Just say something horrible to them. Fuck you, you know. I just push block on all of you people now. I get tired of it. You know, if you want to be, you know, have an argument with someone, feel free to have an argument. But you just troll nasty comments down the whole thread, and just, if anybody said anything nice, and you make sure you chime in and say something really horrible to them. Yeah, you know, well, fuck you. You're mostly bots anyway, so. Or just vindictive little twerps, I don't know. But yeah, so you just get blocked if you do that, folks. So pay attention. Constructive criticism is fine. If you don't like what I say, fine, whatever. Go somewhere else. But don't leave hateful comments to everybody on my chat threads. I don't like it, and it gets you blocked. But yeah, that's about all I got to say, folks. And yeah, prepare for what's coming. Israel is definitely going to try to push the world into war. They really want to get their temple built. And they're really ramping things up now. I mean, all the stuff that's come out about Donald Trump in this unredacted Epstein release, which you've got to wonder how that even happened. But all the stuff that's come out, I mean, if they let off for a day with all of their fear campaigning and wars and bombings and all this shit, then people are going to get time to relax, and they're going to perhaps look at some of those Epstein files and some of the stuff that's in there. And they don't want that. They really don't want that. I mean, Trump is as guilty as sin, as same as everybody else. What he's done in Venezuela is absolutely overstepped the mark. It's completely illegal to go and kidnap a foreign president the way he did. Whether you like Venezuela or not, whether you like Maduro or not, it's simply not how you do things. Israel is really pushing hell for leather to go and attack Iran. They want to create as much chaos and confusion as possible. A lot of the migrant stuff as well, they want to put east against west, but they also want an excuse to be able to roll out all this surveillance stuff. So there's massive things on the horizon, and they're pushing so hard because they're terrified of how many people are waking up to what's going on. And that's a beautiful thing, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They are bringing about their own demise, and yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they are fulfilling it themselves. The internet, for all of its bad things that it does, and as much as surveillance and we get addicted to it and all that sort of thing, it's still helped make the world smaller, and a lot of people have been able to spread a lot of information, and a lot of people have woken up. A lot of people are thinking a little clearer now. People aren't really paying too much attention to mainstream media or any of that sort of stuff, and they're seeing things for themselves. A lot of the younger generation, I mean, they know they've got no hope in the world. Young kids, you know, from 17 to 25, they're looking at this world going, well, where do I fit in? How do I actually start a business or have a career or do anything where I make enough money to actually succeed in the world and just do what I want to do in life? Why is everything such a struggle? And they start looking, and then they start seeing things, and they go, oh, okay. And they get it pretty quickly. So there's a lot of people waking up, and they can't stop that. And a lot of that has happened because of the internet. And people are not being educated in the education system. Back in my day, they used to give you a lot of shit to think about, a lot of homework, a lot of stuff at school was designed to keep your mind occupied. They gave you homework to take home. You got to do this and do that. I never did any homework. I hardly participated in any lessons. I argued with my teachers about almost everything they were trying to teach me, and I thought for myself. So I never actually entered into that matrix. And in modern education, they're not sort of really giving people a lot to think about the kids. They've sort of blown it there. They give them screens and computers and stuff to get them preoccupied. And they get addicted to the screens and playing games, but only for a little while. Then they start chatting to each other and thinking amongst each other. And they don't really have to study too much or even learn to read and write too much anymore. So their minds aren't always completely occupied to go home and do homework, any of that. They don't have to do that stuff anymore the way they did when I was a kid. So it's given these kids a lot of time to think for themselves, and they get on TikTok and it's all pretty stuff on there. Then they start seeing people thinking for themselves, and they start participating in the conversations and blah, blah, blah. And so the younger generations have really woken up, and they need to combat that. So they're locking things down as much as they can. But the more they lock things down, the more people go, aha, we were right, look what they're doing, and the more people wake up. So they're bringing about their own demise. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It has to happen. You know, this system is going to crash and burn. It absolutely is. You're going to find that currency is going to be worth nothing, you know, fiat currency. Maybe crypto will after that, if you've still got access to the internet, if the internet's still even there. Now, the internet's just a bunch of servers in Silicon Valley. I mean, one well-timed airstrike on that place and there would be no internet. So I don't know if it's really good to depend on crypto, but hey, you know, maybe it'll stay there. But most currency is going to go down. So I've been saying to people, one of the most drastic things that's happened to us in the last 100 years is our loss of life skills. And if you really want to prepare for what's coming, you need to get back in touch with your life skills. Like I've said, be prepared to be able to just walk into the forest with the bare minimum of anything and be able to survive. I'd be able to do that in Australia. I don't know that I could do it here in Mexico. I could do it in Australia because I know the lie of the terrain. I know where to find shelter. I know where the storms come from. I know where I could fish and forage for food and hunt if I had to. I know where there's caves. I know what plants are edible. If I really had to, I mean, it wouldn't be pleasant, but if I really had to, like, survive a nuclear holocaust or a zombie apocalypse, if I had access to the mountains and the environment and the landscape that I grew up exploring when I was younger and going to school, used to go and grow weed all over the place and shit. I explored all of the areas of the border ranges and stuff. I know my way around there pretty well. And I used to look at a lot of the old books on edible plants, and you can go and survive in the Australian bush quite easily. There's food all over the place. It just doesn't really look like the normal type of food you would normally eat, but it's there if you know what you're looking for. So yeah, I could do it, but I couldn't do it here in Mexico But if you are native to the country that you're in now, if you grew up there, and surely you know country trails and you know bushwalks and you know places to go and you know where there's edible food and you know where you can go to fish and forage and hunt and you know where you could go to get away from society if the need arose. Because it just may come to that. I've said this for many years. I mean, I remember saying on a show maybe 10 or 15 years ago that if you were to drop my 70-year-old mother into the forest, she would still know how to look after herself. Might be hard for her, arthritic fingers, but she'd know how to build a shelter, she'd know where to find food, she'd know how to do a windbreak, she'd know how to keep herself warm, she'd know how to start a fire, she'd know how to plant seeds and grow vegetables if she had to, she'd know how to fish and trap lobsters in a local stream if that's what it took. She'd know all that sort of stuff. As a 70-year-old woman, you could drop her in the outback somewhere and she'd know how to get by because she had those skills. She grew up on a farm, she had those skills. Your modern people, 20, 25 years old, don't have those skills. I always loved that sort of shit when I was a kid. I loved going camping and I loved having a jungle knife and I liked all that sort of stuff. I liked knowing how to make a lean-to, how to create a hammock between two trees and how to do all sorts of stuff. I loved that when I was a kid. But a lot of kids don't have that. They didn't grow up with that. They grew up playing computer games and all that sort of shit. So who knows? It may come to that. It may come to that. But one thing I think you shouldn't be is in a large city. I mean, I don't intend to stay in Acapulco much longer. I'm still at Jeff's place for the moment. He has gone. He left this morning. I think he's gone to somewhere for a wedding. Another country. And he's going to be back at his ranch, I think, in a couple of weeks. And I will probably go there for maybe a month or so until an Acapulco, which is happening in, I think, February 15th in Puerto Vallarta. So that's kind of my plans at the moment. I intend to go and visit a friend in the meantime, next couple of weeks, so I won't be here in Acapulco for much longer, and I don't know that I'll even come back to Acapulco for quite a while. I mean, I've got no real reason to come back here. I mean, the only reason I was really here was because of an Acapulco being held here, and I do have a few friends here, at least I do know some people, but who knows where I'll end up, folks. I'm still kind of floating around at the moment. I just responded to like four interview requests this morning again, because I told people, yeah, hopefully by about now I would be somewhere where I can do interviews, and I'm just not yet, unfortunately. But once I get up to, if I stay, go and stay at Jeff's ranch for a while, well, maybe there'll be a space there where I can actually have a desk and a camera. And I'm kind of sitting in the spare room, kind of sitting on my bed using a coffee table for my laptop at the moment, so it's not very conducive to doing interviews. But anyway, there's that. And like I said, that's about all I think I have to say. I will try to bring you a report sometime over the next couple of weeks. I don't know how often I'll be able to. There is a chat that I had with Jeff Berwick here at his house, which I think was posted to his channel, which I haven't posted yet. So maybe I'll just post that in a week or so anyway, if I haven't got a report done. And also, a lot of people in Australia have written to me. Well, even when I was there in Australia, I had a lot of people contact me about using the Tesla machine, wanting to try it out when I was there on the Gold Coast. Well, my nephew lives on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia, and he actually has a Tesla machine. So if you're someone on the Gold Coast and would like to go and check him out, contact him and perhaps go and use the machine, work something out with him, then you can send me an email and I will, and even if you live on the Gold Coast, if you can't get to him, there's a chance he might even be able to come to you with it. But if you are, you know, not on the Gold Coast, if you're in another city, well, you'd have to go and see him. But if you want to send me an email, just go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, go to the contact page, And you can just click there and your email should open. Or you can just hover over the click here part and you'll see the email come up on the banner at the bottom. And just email me and I'll forward that straight to my nephew. And perhaps you'll be able to go and use the Tesla machine. He does have one. He lives in the middle of the Gold Coast, so southern Queensland. Easy to get to, and so that's something as well. And again, if you can possibly help out my friend Nadal in Gaza, and remember, if you do make a donation, it is going straight to Nadal. It doesn't go to any NGO or anything like that. It goes straight to him on the ground in Gaza, living in his tent city, and they are suffering extreme hardship. Israel hasn't stopped bombing it, just bombed them the other day, killed like 20 people. Bombed southern Lebanon the other day as well, while nobody's looking. It just hit residential apartment buildings in Lebanon in the middle of the night with no warning. Yeah, this is just what Israel does, folks. It just can't stop. And now it wants to go and bomb Iran. Just can't stop bombing people. Bombed 7 countries in the last 2 years. And it just won't stop. Even with ceasefires, it just won't stop. It just revels in war. And everywhere, everybody you see, all the Israelis have got Israeli flags draped all over them. You know, it's just like some full-blown communist shit. It's like going to Russia. You saw people in Russia walk around with Russian flags draped all over them, or Nazis in Germany with Nazi flags draped all over them. You see how sick and twisted they are. And yet you see it in Israel, everyone goes how heroic they are. And they're not heroic. They're terrorist cowards, these people, waging a war against children, wondering why the world hates them. But then that's why they're doing it, folks, because they want the world to hate them. And they're posting all over social media, please, please come home. It's the only safe place for you. But really, it's not their home. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews all around the world who hate the state of Israel, who unfortunately are all going to be targeted because of what Israel is doing. Like Jews in South America who may hate what Israel is doing, but now they're going to face the anger of the people of Argentina and Chile because the Israelis went over there and burned down Patagonia and are snapping up as much real estate as they can. Freaky times, folks, freaky times. But yeah, enjoy the show. Now it's going to get crazy. It's still going to get crazier because it has to. They're desperate. But like I said, the more they push, the more people wake up, and then the more people wake up, oh my God, the more they push. It's like what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. Here we are. And it's just going to get crazy, and the whole thing really does have to crash and burn for there to be any type of utopia come from this. And what we don't want is everything collapsing and the formation of Greater Israel and them anointing their new Messiah and going out there with their new $110 billion weapons industry and exterminating the rest of the world, because that is their plan. They want to have that all coming to fruition in 2027, and then they want to have it fully in motion and the world under their control by 2030. So it's up to us to stop it. And again, one of the key points is digital ID. Don't accept the digital ID. You know, if it gets to a point where we all have to go offline, I mean, if I just suddenly go offline, well, you know, I'm going to go offline. That's the way it will be, because if it gets to a point where I need digital ID to get online, well, I won't be doing that. So I'm not going to have biometrics and any of that shit. Signing in with my fingerprint, any of that shit. No, that's not going to happen. So who knows, folks? Well, maybe they'll just disappear me, you know, what they're doing with people. Like, that's something that people in the United States are freaking out about as well, what Generation X is freaking out about. Like, some of the people in their neighborhood are just disappearing. ICE is just coming and taking them, and nobody knows where they are. And I don't know whether you've seen what happens to people that get disappeared and thrown over the border, but it's not very nice. But a lot of people are freaking out. You know, what's happened to my neighbor? Why are ICE able to just come door knocking and ask for papers? And if you can't produce papers, then you're just disappeared.
Let's be fucking honest with each other for a second. Let's be really for real. I understand that yelling at a phone screen about the situation doesn't actually do anything to change the situation. But if you want to get into it, my neighbor is missing. There's a girl that lives in the apartment directly across the way from me. I have not seen her in 2 months. Nobody has. Her car is still in the parking lot. Her family, nobody can get in contact with them. I have no idea where my neighbor is. Do you know where your neighbor is? Have you knocked on the door to check? Have you called around to see where your people are? Do you give a fuck? Have you looked around? Can you take your head out of your ass? Everyone in this country, if you're right-leaning or normal, is going, how the fuck did we get here? Nobody's happy. You want to know how we got here? Our fucking choices. Because you couldn't be bothered. Because it wasn't that deep. Is it still not that deep? Renee Good was murdered. Keith Porter was murdered. ICE is a terroristic organization that is killing and kidnapping your neighbors. You're right, yelling at a phone screen doesn't do anything. Because when we get on TikTok, we want to use words like, oh, she was unalived and they were taken and it was bad. Stop censoring yourself. They were murdered. They were murdered by terrorists, by domestic terrorists that are supported and funded by the United States of America's government. And it is fucked. And if you're not angry, I genuinely don't think you have a place on this earth anymore. Oh, that's brash. Two people were murdered, and I'm brash. Oh, fuck you. Do you know why Anne Frank hid in an attic? Because they were knocking door to door looking for them. Now they're saying that ICE is gonna get to come to your door and knock. Are you fucking serious? We're defending the actions of Hitler in modern day times. This from America, who supposedly pulled everybody out of World War II. If we make it out of this, America never should have the grasp that it has on the world stage. And honestly, we don't deserve a global pot to piss in. I love this country, but I would rather see it burn to the ground than function through oligarchy and fascism. Fuck y'all!
Freaky stuff, folks. That's what's happening in the United States. There was a movie that came out years ago by a guy who I know. We were friends for a while. I mean, he went a bit nutty and we had a bit of a falling out for whatever reason. I'm not sure quite. But then he contacted me again years later and said, I'm sorry. And apparently we're friends again. I don't really know him that well and don't hang out with him, but this guy called Charles Shaw, and he did a very, very good movie. It might have been called Plastic People, but he did a very good movie about what happens in the no man's land between the two borders of Mexico and the United States. Because as you know, there's two borders, there's two border fences. There's the United States side, and there's like about 100 metres or something, and then there's the Mexican side. It's the same in most countries. And when a lot of these migrants or illegal immigrants are simply picked up and thrown out of the United States, they're just thrown into that zone. They're not given any official papers to say they're leaving the United States. They're not often given time to even collect their ID. They're just thrown into that area. And then the Mexicans won't let them through because they've got no ID, they've got nothing. So they're just stuck in that zone of 100 metres that runs between the United States and Mexico. And there are thousands of people that are still in that zone that have been there for years. Very, very low life expectancy in there. If you're a good-looking woman, life expectancy is a day or a day and a half. You just don't last in there. They're just basically living off each other. The only thing they've got is whatever they had on them and what they can steal from others. It's horrendous. It's like a living hell. And they're just forgotten people. They're thrown into that area between countries. And I'll see if I can find it and put a link below. Look, I haven't seen Charles for a long time, since maybe 2014 or 2015. When I spoke in the Boom Festival, might have been 2015, I think. I don't know whether the boom is on an odd year or an off year. An even year, you know? I don't know whether it's like 2014 or 2015, but I spoke at Boom Festival one year and Charles Shaw was there. That's the last time I saw him. But he had this film. And like I said, I think it's called Plastic People. But that's what happens to these people, that ICE is just picking up. I guarantee they're not processing them. If they pick you up and you don't have ID on you, and they suspect you to be a Mexican and you can't show them your papers, I guarantee they're not taking you to some processing center. They're probably just taking you to the border and chucking you across the border into no man's land and saying, well, there you are, work it out from there. And this is, you know, what's happening is some of them are Americans. I've seen so many videos of Americans being pulled up, and like 17-year-old kid being taken, beaten, thrown to the ground, body slammed, and he ended up getting his ID, and they looked at it and they dropped him like 8 minutes walk from his work, from where they picked him up, and just dropped him on the side of the road and left him there bruised and battered. Didn't ask for his ID before they threw him to the ground, just walked in and did it. Now the girl in the scrubber's clothes, this is what's happening to American citizens. They're not asking any questions, they're just doing this, and it's just going to get worse, folks. So yeah. And if you don't have any ID, they'll likely just throw you over the border. And then what happens then? What do you do? Who do you phone? What do you do? They probably took your phone. You probably won't have one. What do you do from that point? People just disappear. No one knows where they've gone. So, yeah, sure, people go and protest it. But they shouldn't do what Renee Good did. That was the wrong way to protest. And I think she was probably a serial pest, and they probably planned that she was going to be the one that they shot that day. And I think it was all done deliberately. And I think, yeah, they probably shot her. It makes more sense for them to have shot her than it does for them to have not shot her. So, yeah. Anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now, like I have said many times before. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Who knows? I mean, it's only been 3 or 4 days since I did the last video. Maybe I'll have to do another one in the next couple of days. It's just crazy. But love each other, folks. Love your community. Love your friends. Love your family. Stand strong. Stand tall. This is our time. Know that they're only pushing it and making it worse because so many people are waking up. And like I said before, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Ultimately, we come through this. There's just a period of ugliness before that's going to happen. And the best thing you can do is be aware of what they're doing and call out what they're doing, see what they're doing, make other people aware of it, and just watch it, see how it goes. So when your time comes and you're asked that question, you can say, no, I do not comply. That's how to change the world. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you again to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email or who's ever made a contribution to the website. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then, and do enjoy the show. In Lakesh.
Dear Mr. Donald Trump, there's a country I'd really like for you to invade. They claim to be a democracy, but their leader has been in power for 18 years. And he has multiple corruption and fraud charges against him. This country actually intentionally sends criminals here to the US, and then when they are caught texting minors, they get let free. Can you believe that, Mr. Trump? I know how much you care about protecting minors. I know because you dedicated years of your life infiltrating the Epstein child sex trafficking ring as an FBI informant. You're a real hero to me. this country I want you to invade, also bombed 6 countries last year. They are trying to outdo you, sir. And they have been committing a genocide for 2.5 years now. I also heard from multiple sources that the leader of this country says you have little hands and you wouldn't dare touch their leader because he's bigger, stronger, and has a higher cognitive test score than you. This country is Israel, Mr. Trump. Please abduct their leader. Love, your biggest fan.